This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Achrimos here in Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, I've already read Parshas Achrimos, and if you look at our attachment, there'll be a couple of ideas and thoughts for Parshas Kedoshim from years past. We're going to begin with Parshas Achrimos, Ki Ve'anan Eira'el HaKaporos. The Parsha begins with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's declaration how we should be careful not to go into the Beis HaMikdash all the time, because Be'anan, I appear on the Kaporos in Anan. And Rashi explains that since Hashem is always there, a person needs to be careful not to hang out in the Kodesh, lest he become lax due to familiarity. But isn't that exactly what we seek every day? Don't we declare Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid? Why aren't we worried about being lax then? So Rav Aaron Leib Shteinman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explains that there's a difference between being in the revealed Shechina, where it's obvious that the Shechina is in front of you, where you need to have extra protection from the glory, which is right there. It's similar to not looking at the hands of the Kohen while he's duchening. That's very, very different from trying to achieve a certain status of Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, where we are allowed to look at the Kohen's hands later in the day. We're told, don't look at a moon exceptionally long. We're allowed to look at the moon. When we demonstrate respect for something, we're embarrassed of our standing in its presence, says Rav Shteinman. So that's the case when we are very, very clearly there, ki be'anan eira'eh, as opposed to the person having to rise to the occasion to become aware of the Shechina. And one, you can become aware. You don't tend to overly become aware, or it disappears. The other, the Shechina is still there, and you become overly familiar and exceptionally uncomfortable, and unfortunately disrespectful. Then we go through the whole process of understanding some of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, wherein we're told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaShochein Itam B'soch Tumosam. God lives with us even in our Tumah. And Rashi says that Hashem's with us even within our Tumah, to which the Zohar HaKadosh adds that when the Shechina is with us in our Tumah, it appears to us as an Ima, as a mother. Now, why does it appear as a mother of all images? Why is it experienced as a mother as opposed to all images? So Reb Chaim Balazhner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explains that although both a mother and a father love a child, when the child soils himself and gets all bent out of shape from the smell, it's the mother who comfortably washes the child and calms the child down as she changes him. And the same lesson is apparent when the Shechina is with us in our soiled clothes. Ima Shechina tries to get us cleaned so that we can become purified. And this is a fundamental lesson of Yom HaKippurim. We're also told that the Kohen Gadol has the responsibility when he gets to the process of saying the Vidoi Visvado Lobisko Avonos B'nei Yisrael. When he gets to the Soil Azazel, he recites a Vidui on it on behalf of Am Yisrael. Now, it's interesting that when the Kohen Gadol says Vidui, he uses the language on Hashem Chatasi Avi Chatu Avu Pashu, but he doesn't express the remorse that the Rambam identifies as essential for the process of tshuva, nor does he offer the Kabbalah L'Asid, the resolve not to sin in the future. Why is that? So Mari V'Rabbi Rav Shechter Shalita quoted on a number of occasions in the name of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal that the vidui of the Kohen Gadol can't cover the tshuva steps required of another, because that individual need, the remorse, the Kabbalah L'Asid, requires the individual who did the sin. It can't be filled in by a shaliach, by another person. There is a kapara function to the vidui we recite when we do it on our own. Because what happens when we do it on our own is that it's a breaking of a will. It's an awareness of our inability to run and hide, and an acceptance of who we are and where we are. It's knowing where we are and who we are, which provides the necessary building blocks of tshuva and kapara. And this is one of the fundamental lessons that we're supposed to take away from the recitation of the vidui as part of tshuva. We're told, as far as the Kohen Gadol, he is achas bashana yechaper alav. He's there to atone for Bnei Yisrael, but once a year. Now, the truth is, all of our Yamim Tovim are but once a year. So, once we know Yom Kippur is there, why do we have to know that it's achas bashana, that it's once a year? One year going on his way to get up and speak before Ne'ila, Rav Elia Lopian Zatzal explained that while Yom Kippur is a once-a-year experience, a person or a community can be in a Yom Kippur status every time a tzaddik dies. The Torah tells us, Chazal tell us, as we see at the beginning of the parasha, that Misas Tzadikim is Mechaper, that the death of a tzaddik serves as an atonement. And that's what the Torah is trying to teach us here, says Rav Elia Lapian. We're told to atone now, so we don't need the atonement the rest of the year via the death of a tzaddik. And may HaKadosh Baruch Hu spare us from any further deaths from our great Torah leaders. Afterwards, the Torah turns to the principles of Kemasei Eretz Mitzrayim, Asher Yishavtem Balosasu, the actions of Eretz Mitzrayim we should not do. And Rashi explains that Egypt and Canaan were the most aberrant of the nations of the world at the time. They had the strangest practices. Now, it's most interesting that the very places that Hashem placed the Jewish nation were the most odd in practice. They were the most foreign to Torah principle. How come that makes sense? The Rav Volba Zatzal explains that in the places where one sees the most crass of behaviors that are the most oppositional to Judaism, we find the strongest adherence to Jewish principles. For every Jew, no matter his level of observance, has a spark of Kedusha within him or her, which is antithetical to the concept of Tumah. Placing the nation in the face of the contrast would help us understand our place in the world as individuals who are Anshei Kodesh, and as a nation that is dedicated to Kedusha. Then we're told, my chukim, you should observe, and Rashi notes that the chukim over here refer to things that are gzeiros hamelech, like not eating pig and not wearing shatnas. And the next language, which is the power of the taras mechatas, the power of the ability of the mechatas to be metar. Now it's interesting that in Parshas Bishalach, the Parah Aduma replaces the example of Taras Mechatas. Why over there, when we quote the three examples, we say Parah Aduma, and here it's the ability of the Mechatas to be Metar. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal once pointed this out, and he explained that in this instance we're counting things that seem to have a logical explanation, but are actually Chukim. Parah Aduma is so foreign from logic, insofar as it's both considered a Karban, right, it's considered a carbon, and that's why we refer to it as ve'aso chatas. But it's also not brought on a mizbeach, and it's prepared outside of the camp, and thus it can't be counted together with the others. It's way too strange. Hazas mechatas, the ability to sprinkle the parah aduma water, that's just a little bit closer to normalcy, and that we have a parallel to it called tevila. But in the chok part is the fact that something that normally requires the whole body to go into the water, now just with a little sprinkling of a few drops, it still works in this instance. But in Parshas Bishalach, we say that if we listen to Hashem Elokecha, v'shamarta kol chukav, that if we listen to all the chukim of Hashem includes the most strangest of the strange of those chukim. And what is that? That refers to the Parah Aduma. Also, we're told that as far as we're concerned in the Torah, v'chai bohem, we have a mitzvah to live by them. And Rav Amital Zatzal, the former Shiva of Har Etzion, noted three ideas that we learn from this pasuk. Idea number one, mitzvahs are supposed to be performed not with a sense of suffering, but rather with a sense of simcha, v'chai, there should be a life to it. Two, at the end of the Medrash Tanchuma, we learn that a person who is a Rasha is dead even during his lifetime because he sees the sun shining, but he doesn't make a bracha. He sees the sun set, but he doesn't say the bracha. Well, the characteristic of a living being is how the living being reacts. It's not apathetic to what's happening around it. And the same idea applies to our avodas Hashem. It should flow as a natural reaction to what's happening around us. We should feel as though we simply have to do it, that we can't exist without it. And so that also is part of life. V'chai bohem means this is the secret to be able to achieve a sense of chayim. And the third lesson we learned from the pasuk of v'chai bohem says, Rav Amital, is that Torah and mitzvahs must be a person's main activity. You can engage in work for most of the day, so because that work allows you to earn a living. And you can learn Torah for a very limited time during the day. But a person has to feel that the limited time that he gets to learn Torah is the main part of his day. And the rest is all secondary. And that's what the Torah says when the Torah identifies as Mishpatai Teshmu L'Alechas Bahem, A person shouldn't say, now I'm going to get up and walk away and study secular disciplines. Secular disciplines are important, but they're not a means of walking in life. And we have to understand that, says Rav Amital, so that we can develop the proper appreciation. Finally, this Shabbos is going to be Shabbos Erev Rosh Chodesh, both here and in Eretz Yisrael, and so therefore we will read a special Haftorah called the Haftorah of Machar Chodesh. Why do we have a special Haftorah on the day before Rosh Chodesh? We do not have it for any of the other Yamim Tovim. So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal once noted that there are striking similarities between the moon and the Jewish people. Like the moon, right after it hits its nadir, it begins a rapid ascent towards a new beginning, the Jewish people can take solace in their darkest moments that Machar Chodesh, that tomorrow is going to be a new day, a Yom Shekulo Aruch. In our lives, sometimes we hit the darkest of the dark, and today HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bench us with the ability to appreciate a Yom Shekulo Kadosh, a Yom Shekulo Aruch. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu get us to that experience today, b'mheira b'yameinu.